Let us now turn to read God's word, and our reading this morning is from the book of Psalms, and we're going to read from Psalm 73, but we're going to look at Psalm 84. So if you want to put markers in either or both of these places, first of all, Psalm 73 for our reading. Truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone, my steps had well nigh slipped, for I was envious of the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people returned thither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, how doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly, who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain, and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me, until I went into the sanctuary of God. Then understood I their end. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down unto destruction. How are they brought unto desolation? As in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. Amen, and may God add his blessing and give to us understanding in that reading of a portion of his own holy word. We continue our worship, this time coming on to Psalm 92, and we're going to break in to read and sing at verse 12. Psalm 92 at verse 12. But like the palm tree flourishing shall be the righteous one. He shall like to the cedar grow that is in Lebanon. Those that within the house of God are planted by his grace, they shall grow up and flourish all with, and flourish all in our God's secret, in our God's holy place. And in old age, when others fade, their fruit still forth shall bring. They shall be fat and full of sap, and be flourishing. To show that upright is the Lord, he is a rock to me, and he from all unrighteousness is all together free. Psalm 92 from 12 to the end of the psalm, but like the palm tree flourishing. As I indicated there a moment ago, I want us to read from Psalm 84 now. Psalm 84. And we'll come to think of a verse in it from our reading. How amiable are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts! My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will be still praising thee. Selah. And that phrase is just a punctuation mark indicating that we should pause to think of what we've just read. Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of them, who passing through the valley of Baca maketh it a well, and the rain also filleth the pools. They go from strength to strength, every one of them in Zion appeareth before God. O Lord God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of thine anointed. For a day in thy courts is better than a thousand. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. And I want particularly to come back this morning for a meditation in that verse 10. And the latter part of verse 10 where we read, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. This is the priority that the psalmist shares with us. And I want immediately to ask the question, where do you want to be? As we from time to time look back over our life and the course that we've taken, the journey we've been on, the places we've visited and the things that we've done, we can pause and we can ask the question, where do you want to be? What do you want to change? What are the things that might be different, that you would want to be different? Where would you rather be? What would you be doing? What company would you be keeping? These are the questions that sometimes come upon ourselves. And if you were to ask the psalmist, the person who wrote this verse 10 for us, if you were to ask him, where would you be? The answer would come back time and again, I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. We mentioned there the journey of life that we're all on and the way in which we can look back and review it from time to time. And that image of a journey helps us to understand this psalm. Because it's the psalm that would have been in the mind and in the soul and in the heart of the pilgrims whenever they came back to Jerusalem several times through the year to engage in the services and the sacrifices that were appointed to take place there. So from time to time, you'd find people traveling towards Jerusalem. And it hasn't been, well, it's been a little while since they've been there. And when they were back home, their life was filled with other things. They were engaged in ordinary, everyday things. But there was no satisfaction derived from them. And so now you find these pilgrims, they're journeying towards Jerusalem. They're coming close to the tabernacle. And there's something on the horizon that's getting bigger. And there's something lovely that is filling their eyes. That's what he says in the very first verse of this psalm. How amiable are thy tabernacles? How lovely, how beautiful, how attractive is the tabernacle of the Lord God. He sees this building. But he sees more than just simply stones and shapes. He sees this building and he longs to meet with his Lord in it. I would rather be a doorkeeper in this house of God than to go about and join everything else that is on offer in society around about him. That's his desire. That's all I want us to think of from this psalm this morning. Simply to put the challenge, the place to be. That's what he's setting before us as his priority. The place to be. What's the place he wants to be in? I would rather be there as a doorkeeper than to be doing anything else, anywhere else. And the same surely is the priority and the approach that we ourselves have as we come to church. Yes, we come and we come in the building and we have the same things as this psalmist had. There's the shape and there's the bricks and there's the decor. There's all of these things. There's pews and everything else round about us. But as we come with that same focus as this psalmist had. We're coming not just simply to a building. We're not just simply fulfilling a habit or a routine at 11 o'clock on a Sunday morning. We're coming with a lot more in our soul, in our heart. We're coming to meet with our Lord. These people of old, the psalmist and many others, they test us. And they test us very, very practically, very, very personally. How intense, how deep and strong this longing was with this man to meet with God. His eyes are fixed on the building, yes, but so is his heart. His heart is going out to his God. And he's straining forward like a dog on a leash. He's always straining forward to be there as soon as possible. And any delay that comes upon him, he loses something of his strength. My soul longs, he tells us. My soul longs. Myself, I faint for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. He's not silent. He cannot be silent. He's speaking as often as he can about where he's going and who he's going to meet and what his expectations are as he comes to the courts of his God. These people of old, they test us. What is our attitude as we gather here together this morning? Do we come with that same intense, deep desire? We're waiting, we're longing, we're looking, we're yearning to meet with God and to hear what he has to say to us today. To hear what he's got to say to us right now. The place to be. That's the challenge he leaves for us. And that we must take up. The expectation, the waiting, the eagerness, the straining that is upon this man. To listen to what anything comes from God in case he loses even the slightest, smallest thing. We know in our own history that the church bell there in the belfry, it was used to tell people of a bygone age that it was coming close to 11 o'clock and it should be the time to come to church. This man, he didn't need the church bell to call him to church. This man, he didn't need any habits to remind him of where he should be. This man, he didn't need any examples of others round about him or before him to encourage him to be in the place where he ought to be. He wanted to be there. The place to be. And you know, he's even envious of the small birds. He sees them coming and going, flitting in and out of the tabernacle, the place where he wants to be himself. And he sees these small birds fulfilling the very longing that he has himself. I want to be that close to my God. I want to be that near to worship him, but also to hear what he has to say to me. He's envious. He's envious of these swallows and other birds. He counts it a tremendous blessing and a great privilege to be that close and to be that near and to be in that place near to his God. What a tremendous challenge then comes from this psalm time and again to us, challenging and testing how we come to church this morning. Yes, we come and we prepare to come to church. And there are many things that we've got to attend to. The way we dress, nothing but the best for the Lord. We've got to bring our Bible. We've got to bring our collection. We've got to bring our envelope. There's a whole checklist that we have that we go through when we come to church. But you know, there's one item that we have to put to the very top of that checklist we have. The one thing that is more important than any of these other things that we've mentioned. We've got to remember to bring our heart and the desire of our souls as we gather here this morning. The place to be. And having said all of that in these first few verses, the psalmist tells us, stop there. Just stop there and pause. And look at his spirituality. Listen to what he's saying about himself. Look at his body language and the way in which he's straining along that road to be there, to meet with his God. And as you conjure that image in your mind and you put yourself beside it, there's a challenge to us all. How do we gather together in church? Is it for us the same thing as for this man? The place to be. I would rather be a doorkeeper in God's house than to be there distant and far doing all these other things in the tents of wickedness. So he's going over something for us. Perhaps when you come to verse 5, there's something in his past that is now welling up in his mind and in his memory. Something that encourages him to go there. The place to be. He wants to be there. Why? Well, he tells us, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, who passing through the valley of Baca or Baca. Now, we don't know where that is. But the one thing that we can say about it, that his journey was often through dry, dreary wilderness experiences. Journeying from where he was to the city and temple of Jerusalem, often took them through difficult times and places. And this is what he's referring to as something that was in his own life. There was a time when he was going through the similar experience. It was dry, it was hard, it was difficult. He speaks here about the God of Jacob. And of course, why should he refer particularly to the God of Jacob? Again, it's to reinforce what we've just said. Jacob, what was he? He was a man that travelled an awful lot. Ran away from home. Went out into the wilderness. He was travelling through the wilderness day after day. His life, his journey was through a very similar kind of experience. Jacob was also somebody who wrestled with God in prayer. And to begin with, there was no answer, there was no response. So we take these things out of the life of Jacob, because they're there chosen for a very special purpose, because they were also in the life of this psalmist. And maybe they're a reflection of ourselves also. So what's he telling us here? Hard times, difficult times. He had to maybe face up to and confront a problem. Perhaps it was sadness that came into their family circle, or illness that visited them. Maybe the providences that came upon them brought a setback for them. The providences didn't work out just as they would want to or expect. Maybe the animals weren't as strong and healthy, maybe lost something in childbirth. Or the harvest and the crops didn't produce the full abundance that they were expecting. Or maybe some business deal went bent and something failed. Or maybe there was a falling out in the family. Or with friends. Or in the community. Take it even higher. Take it to a spiritual level. Like we said, in the life of Jacob there, he was wrestling in prayer and there was no answer. And maybe that's exactly what these people were going through and reflecting as well. They had a problem and they were praying about it. And there was no answer. They were going through difficult times. Times when it's hard just simply to keep going. How then did he respond? How did he keep going? Again, there was little or no encouragement for him. It was a dry and dreary place. And what does he tell us? He tells us in verse 5, "Blessed is the man whose strength is in thee." What's he telling us? Again, he's repeating the same priority that he had. The place that he was in. Where was he? He was in the Lord. He was trusting in the Lord and relying upon the Lord, even in these difficult and trying times. He was walking in the ways of the Lord, in whose heart are thy ways. Oh yes, round about him life was difficult, life was hard as it is for us, and the temptation often is just simply to back off in our obedience or to be less than disciplined in the things that we do. But not for this man. I would rather be a doorkeeper. I would rather walk in the ways of the Lord, even although it's hard and difficult at that time. I would rather do that than back off and give up and go slow. He depended on and relied on the company of his God and the word of his God to keep him in balance. We read there in Psalm 73, which helps us to understand Psalm 84. Psalm 73, the psalmist was trying to make sense and to understand what's going on round about him. And it was difficult because he saw the non-Christian prospering. He saw them going through life with great ease. He saw them free from many of the problems that he himself had to cope with. He went even as low as being envious of them when he contrasted his own life with them. Here he is. He's trying to keep the high standards that he knows he should stick to. He's taking care over the way that he lives. He believes and he behaves in a certain way and holds to certain things. But as he does that, it only multiplies his troubles. An echo that comes to ourselves as Christians. When we try to do the same thing, we find that we are in trouble and in difficulty, especially when we look at other people round about us who seem to be getting on just fine. So what's the answer in Psalm 73? Take it from Psalm 84. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than go with these crowd. Carefree as they might be, I don't want them. Why does he come to that conclusion in Psalm 73? Well, the place to be. Take it again and read verse 17 of Psalm 73. Until I went into a certain place. Until I went into the sanctuary and the place of God. Then I started to look at them in a different way. I looked at their life through the teaching and the understanding of my Bible. And I saw them in a different picture. The place to be in the house, walking in the ways of the Lord God. Psalm 73 gives us, verse 17, it gives us understanding from the place to be in. The house and the temple of God. Psalm 84 gives us the same thing. Not only understanding, but verse 5 says, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, in whose heart are the ways of the Lord. As he walks in the ways of the Lord, the place to be, he gets strength to come through the difficult, dreary, testing time. So therefore, for ourselves, when we go through similar experience to this psalmist, how do we respond? How do we cope with them and deal with them? The best thing that we can do is to take what he gives us in this verse 10. The psalmist tells us, and it stands still true today, the place to be, the place is to be with our God. To take our problems and our difficulties to him. And there get both understanding and to get strength to go on. And there he tells us, Selah. Just pause now and think of the way God has dealt with you in the past. Just pause there and think of the good things he's given you. But he doesn't stop there. That's only a pause. Because you come down then to verse 8. O God of hosts, hear my prayer. He's building up his reasons. He's building up his memory. He's dragging things out of his memory to bring him forward to worship his God. And he comes here with another experience. O God, hear my prayer. A tragedy. A disaster has come upon them since last they were pilgrims going to Jerusalem. Perhaps it's something that's happened more recently in their life and their experience. Something that's happened perhaps in recent days. And so he speaks, O Lord God of hosts. He's addressing God as the great God, focusing upon God's strength and upon God's might, who's able to deliver him out of difficulty. And again, it's the God of Jacob he's mentioning. There's a beautiful text given to us in Genesis chapter 48, where Jacob is telling us his own experience all the way down his life. Genesis chapter 8 verse 15, he says this: he blessed Joseph and said, this is this testimony, God, before whom my father Abraham and Isaac did walk. The place to be, walking with God, the example of Abraham and Isaac. So what's the testimony of Jacob? The God who fed me all my life long unto this day. What an amazing testimony that is. Delivering Jacob out of these troubles and difficulties. And that's the experience this psalmist latches onto. He's holding on to the past experience of another believer. And he's using that in prayer before God. What you did for him, Lord, do it for me. Our Bibles are very practical books to help us through life. They're dealing with ordinary, everyday people, just like ourselves, who've come to know and to trust in the Lord. And we can identify with them in their troubles. And we can also look for the same deliverance to come to us. His prayer is that the Lord would be a shield to him. A shield to protect him for whatever threatens against him. But that's not where he stops. Look at what he says then. He says, look upon the face of thine anointed. Yes, he's praying for a place of safety behind the shield. But he's praying for a lot more than that. Not just simply to be behind the shield. He's wanting to be under the gaze of the eye of God. When tragedy and disaster strikes, where's the place to be? Where's the place that he wants to be? Not taking counsel from others or other friends or looking over the shoulder or over the fence or anything like that today. The place to be, underneath the eye of God. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God and take all of the counsel and all of the prescriptions and all of the advice of men in countless numbers ranking round about me. I'll leave all that to one side and I'll put myself underneath the eye of my God. He wants to be in a certain place and to have certain experiences. He wants to look upon the love of the Lord, the interest of the Lord, the commitment of the Lord. He wants to look at these important spiritual truths, because the joy and the strength of the Christian is often measured by the same quality as we know these things as realities in our lives. Conscious of his love, conscious of his blessing, prepares us for things to come into our lives. We took one example there of Psalm 73. Let me quote another one. This time from the book of Numbers. The very well-known Aaronic benediction in Numbers chapter 6. What's the best thing that you and I can seek for any other Christian? What's the best thing that you and I can seek for any other church? Today, perhaps there's a wee bitty imbalance, because so often the emphasis is upon, oh yes, we need a better, bigger, more attractive building. We need a modern building. Or maybe some people say, well, you've got to have a public catch the public eye. Get somebody who's got the public eye. You've got to get that person in the congregation. Or maybe you've got to promote your numbers and such like. That's not what Numbers chapter 6 tells us. The place to be. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face to shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The place to be is under the blessings of God, and to know the reality of it day after day. Oh yes, the place to be. But I want to take this down, just again to pause there, and to take it down to the gospel and to the soul and to ourselves individually. Because we treat and repeat the truth oftentimes that we are sinners and we cannot save ourselves. The issues of our soul are at risk, and they're huge. The places we're going to spend eternity is there laid on the line. And when we're concerned about our spiritual destiny, we try this, we try that, we try the next thing, seeking what we need most. But we never find it. And all the while the message of God comes to us and points us to one place. The place to be for forgiveness, for safety, for security. The place to be for God's blessing to be upon us. The first important place of all for you and I to be. Where is it? At the cross. That's the place to go to. Because only there is there a sacrifice given that will cover the needs of our soul, yours and mine. Have we then an interest in what happened at that cross? Have we an interest in it for our own good? The place to be at the cross. But it comes a lot sharper and more personal than that. Not only at the cross, but the place to be under the blood. Every one of us, without exception, we've got to meet, appear before the Lord God on that last great day. And on that last great day, each one of us will be tried and tested, and we will be examined minutely and completely. God will assess us and weigh us up. He will look into our lives, and nothing will be hid from that gaze. Do we then have something that's going to give us protection and cover at that day? What are we going to rely on? There is only one thing. There is only one thing that will stand the test of that great test itself. The place to be, under the blood of Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1 verse 17 says, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses from all sin. Only that blood will be effective on that day. The place to be then, it's the same then, and it's the same now. And the question we have to ask is, are you standing on safe territory? The place to be, are you standing in a safe place? The place to be, at the cross, under the blood. And there's so many other ways in which we can answer that question, which brings comfort to any believer and encourages us to become a believer. Where should we be? Hebrews chapter 2 verse 13 speaks about the way in which the Lord embraces his people in his arms, the place to be embraced by the Lord, whom he claims to be his own. And embracing them for himself, he will speak on their behalf. The place to be embraced in the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. Another place to be sitting at his feet, absorbing his word. Remember, that's what Mary tells us in Luke chapter 10. She sat there and she drank in, absorbing his word. The place to be for her Christian health and strength. For quietness and peace when we go through day by day life has so many surprises, twists and turns for us. How can we cope with everything that comes at us? Again, the place to be, to think, where are we? Psalm 31 tells us we are in the hands of our God. Troubles come our way. That's what we've already mentioned of the experience of the psalmist. Troubles come our way. And we say, will you pray for me? And we might have a circle of friends who do pray for us. But remember, the best place to be. John chapter 17 and verse 9, where the Lord says, I pray for those whom the Father has given to me. The place to be? So many wonderful, encouraging answers that both challenge us and comfort us here this morning. But let's get back just for a few moments before we close to this Psalm 84. He's making a comparison here. One day is like, better than 10, than 1,000 in some other place. 1,000 days to enjoy all that life might hold and give. 1,000 days fully saturated in all of these things. It doesn't even come close to the blessings that he gets from one day in fellowship with his Lord. One day spent knowing the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, roaming over the rich promises of his word, to have them broken down and applied to him. These are great spiritual blessings. Blessings that are strange to many today, but yet they're sought after, and they're the greatest delight of the Christian. And that's what he says in this comparison. I would rather be a doorkeeper. Let's get it plain right at the beginning. It's not an official position he's talking about. He's not talking about an official position in the house of God. What he's saying is, I would rather be somebody on the fringe. I would rather be somebody on the fringe. I'm not at the center of things, but I am able to peep in. Am I actually able to look through the crowd? I'm actually able to look even in from the outside, from the very fringes, and I see Jesus. And that is bliss to my soul. I might be doing ordinary, mundane things. I might be opening doors, ordinary duties. But listen, that's far better than anything society holds or offers. Every one of us has to make a choice. This is a choice the psalmist makes. This is a choice the Christian makes. The place that he wants to be in. Here. With my God. It is, after all, the house of my God. You might say, well, it's a hard place to sleep on the doorstep. No. It's not hard at all. Because of the blessings that he has as he waits for his God. And one last thought that he gives us here. As he knows his God, as he trusts in his God for the salvation of his soul. What's life now going to be like afterwards? After that crucial meeting and commitment to God? What's life going to be like now as a Christian? Far from being deprived and being shallow or even empty. Far from that being his experience, he says, he is going to be enriched. Verse 11, the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. And then he works these words, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The place to be? To walk uprightly in the ways of the Lord. We can examine and we can look at our own Christian life. And we might think, well, my life is not the same as others round about me. My life is not as I would read it in the Bible before me. My life is not as it once was to me. And the question is, why? And more often than not, the answer comes back immediately. What's the place you're in? You're not walking. You're not there in the place where the Lord's blessing is given and experienced. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. The truly blessed, happy man. The man who enjoys, the woman who enjoys rich blessings on a great scale and a great depth. Given to us and described in the first Psalm. He doesn't walk, he doesn't stand, he doesn't sit in the company of ill men. What's his delight? His delight is in the law of his God. Captivating him, thrilling him, exciting him, encouraging him. So the place to be. What is it for you and me? What is the place we want to be in? The whisper. The whisper of verse 10 lingers with us as we go from our service. I would rather be on the edge of this great crowd called the Christian church. I would rather be on the edge of this crowd called believing folk than in the company of so many today who are living a life that one day will bring them underneath the judgment of God and to be cast out by him. Oh no. The place to be? Where is it for the man who wrote these words? Where is it for you and me? The place to be? I'd rather be in a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we thank thee for the way in which thou hast met with thy people and the way in which thou hast spoken. And even as thou dost speak to us this morning, may we see our great need met in Jesus Christ thy Son, and the gift of abundant and everlasting life, his gift given to his people. But all the while, Lord, may we recognize the place we must be in, close by thee, gently and softly walking humbly with thee, and having the blood of Jesus Christ always round about us and over us as our protection and our comfort. May thy blessing be upon each one of us then this morning, we pray, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We close by singing from Psalm 73, that psalm we read there. And we're going to sing verse 23 to 26, the four stanzas. (Clears throat) Nevertheless, continually, O Lord, I am with thee. Thou dost me hold by my right hand and still upholdest me. Thou with thy counsel while I live with me conduct and guide, and to thy glory afterward receive me to abide. Whom have I in the heavens high but thee, O Lord, alone? And in the earth whom I desire besides thee there is none. My flesh and heart are faint and fail, but God doth fail me never. For of my heart God is the strength and portion forever. Psalm 73 at 23. Nevertheless, continually. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.